A great day, amen? Now, wait a minute, y'all. We've been waiting for this like 2.5 years. I think you might be able to do a little better than that. This is a great day, amen?
Amen.
It's so great to see all of you gathered here. It's so great to have our friends from all around the community with us as we celebrate today. We have some firefighters here who helped battle the blaze 2.5 years ago. And we have folks from a good number of our mission partners and organizations, people we work with all the time. We have some folks from there with us. We have our friends from Trail, the contractor that built this beautiful space. They're here with us this morning. And y'all, they are our friends. I mean that the only downside of completing this building is that the guys who have been working here so hard for 1.5 years, people we've come into contact with every single day and really forged friendships with, the only downside of finishing this thing is that now they'll move on and work on another place and build something else, and we're going to miss them. We're going to miss the friendships that we've been able to build. But we have folks from all over the community, businesses, people who have supported us, people who, some of whom, when I run into in the community, will say, "Are y'all ever going to build that building back?" But others will say, "You know, we've been praying for you. We'll be so happy when you get to move in. And we're so glad for all of you to be here on this historic day for our congregation." And leading up to this day, I've been thinking. Over the past 2.5 years, I can't tell you how many times I have met somebody out in the community and either had them ask me what I do, or I've been able to invite them to worship here with us at Advent, only to have them say something like, "Advent United Methodist, where is that?" And so my answer usually goes something like this: it's on Woodruff Road between Highway 14 and Five Forks. More specifically, we narrow it down, we're between St. Mary Magdalene Roman Catholic Church and the entrance to the Stonehaven neighborhood. That's where we are. And the response has become so predictable. I can see their wheels turning, trying to figure out where our campus is. And then when the light bulb comes on and they finally put it together, I know what's coming next. "Oh, yeah, that's the church that burned, right?" This happens so much now, sometimes I just sort of lean into it and preempt it, and I'll say, "I'm one of the pastors at Advent United Methodist. We're on Woodruff Road between Highway 14 and Five Forks. You might remember seeing us on the news because our sanctuary burned." And when I say that, unless they have recently moved to our area, that always does it. The light bulb comes on. That's just how a lot of people know us. Now, notice when I said it, I said our sanctuary burned. I didn't say our church. On the day of the fire, one of our staff members posted on social media, "There was a fire at 2258 Woodruff Road today, but the church was unscathed." Nothing could be more true. If there is anything that the fire in the last 2.5 years have taught us, it is that the church is not a building. It's a beautiful space, but this is just carpet and wood and stone and sheetrock and metal. This is not church. It's wonderful, and I'm glad we're in here, but this ain't church. Now, we probably would have said we knew that before, but after the fire, we know that in a new way, in a deeper way, a way that sinks in. And we'll also be reminded of it in our scripture passage this morning from 1 Peter. We're going to pick up with chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 4. And so I invite you to hear now the word of the Lord. "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. as the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust Him recognize the honor God has given Him. But for those who reject Him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And He is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. And so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. For you are chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, we're still being built. Can you do that for me? We're still being built. Yeah, I know that our building project, this beautiful sanctuary, is now complete and a year and a half of hard work is over and the results are magnificent, right? It's a beautiful space. But in this passage, Peter says, hey, look, construction is not over. You are a work in progress. You're still being built. You are under construction. That's sort of the way Peter starts this passage. Verse 4, he says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Those are construction words. Christ is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but He was chosen by God for great honor. Now, especially in the ancient world, the cornerstone was the first stone laid in a building. And it was usually the largest stone they could find, but it was always the most important. Because it was the first stone laid, all the other stones, the rest of the stones in the building were set in reference to that one. And that's why it had to be perfect. It had to be level. It had to be square and true. Because if that cornerstone is out of level just a little bit, then every stone stacked on top of it would also be out a little bit. And it would get a little more and more out of plumb as the walls go up. And soon, eventually, it would be so far out that the wall would lean and fall. So the cornerstone is the most important stone in the whole building. It's foundational. So it had to be solid. It had to be level. It had to be square. Well, Peter, whose name, by the way, means rock. Petra means rock. And so Peter, whose name means rock, tells us that our cornerstone is none other than Jesus. It's almost like he's saying, yeah, my name means rock, but let me tell you, I'm not the cornerstone. I want to tell you about the cornerstone. Our cornerstone is Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus is our firm foundation. Jesus is the reference point to keep us in line. And with a foundation like that, we don't have to worry. It doesn't matter what storms come. It doesn't matter if the earth trembles and shakes beneath our feet, because we are on solid ground with Christ the solid rock as our foundation, our cornerstone. Well, Peter goes on in verse 5. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are His holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Peter's saying, look, God is in the construction business. But there's really no need to order building materials because you are the building materials. You are living stones. You ever been called living stones before? I've had people tell me I was dumb as a rock, but I've never really been called a living stone. But that's what Peter says. You are living stones. God is building us, living stones, into a spiritual temple. Not God has built a spiritual temple, but God is building. It's a work in progress. It's ongoing. There is no end date in sight. God is working, building us into something remarkable and magnificent. And Peter calls it a spiritual temple. But what he's talking about really doesn't have anything to do with a structure. He's talking about something different. He explains it further in verse 9. He says, "For you are a chosen people." Chosen people. Chosen for what? Chosen not for special privileges, but chosen for a special responsibility. The responsibility of carrying the good news of Jesus to the entire world. Chosen for the responsibility of preaching Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Chosen to preach salvation that comes in the name of Jesus and only in the name of Jesus. Chosen for the responsibility of proclaiming to all the world that Jesus is Lord and there is life, abundant life, eternal life in Him, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. We're chosen for that responsibility. God's chosen people. God is building us into this spiritual temple, this vessel, the body that will take that message forward. As a staff, we've talked about the temptation that I think we're going to face now that we have moved into this building. It's the temptation to think that we have somehow arrived at a destination. That now we can, you know, we've come so far, now we can relax, we can take our foot off the gas, we can coast for a season, you know, take it easy. And to some extent, that temptation is natural. After this long process of being displaced and all this time we've had space problems. We've been cramped on our campus and some of our ministries have been inhibited and couldn't grow because we simply didn't have enough space to do that. But it is a temptation nonetheless, a temptation that we have to resist. Because as Peter tells us, God is taking us living stones, and is building us into something. And that something is a chosen people, chosen for a mission. And as long as there's one person within driving distance of this location who has never experienced the grace and love of our God, as long as there's one person within driving distance of where we are who has never come to know Jesus and the difference He can make in our lives, then we can't rest. We can't take it easy because the mission that God has given us will not be complete until the whole world knows and the whole world has seen that Jesus Christ is Lord. Late last night, somebody sent me a little factoid. And this is what it said. It said, the average United Methodist invites someone else to church. What do you think? Once a month? Once a year? Here's what it said. The average United Methodist invites someone else to church once every 33 years. Hello now. We can't take our foot off the gas. There's too much at stake. We have been chosen. Peter's telling us this. We've been chosen for a responsibility, for a task. God has given us a job, and that job is to spread the good news of Jesus to all the world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, extending compassion and mercy and acceptance and family. Peter tells us all about it. He says, hey, God's building you. God is building you, you living stones, into the kind of people, chosen people, who will take the message of Jesus to the entire world. And then he goes on to say, you are royal priests. Anybody ever called you that? You are royal priests, a holy nation. God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For He has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. I'll never forget the night of the fire. Our staff had been here all day and it was surreal watching the flames, watching the firefighters fight as hard as they could, but to no avail because there was no stopping that blaze. And all day long, I tried to ignore it, but my phone blew up. I had missed calls, countless emails when I finally looked at it, and I had 111 text messages. And it was great to hear from people who wanted to let me know they were praying for us and that they would be here for us. I don't know if I ever read them all, to be honest with you, because it was just overwhelming. But I did read one that I received late on that Wednesday night. It was from our church council chair, Jim Tindall. And honestly, it was poetic. Here's what his message said. While our sanctuary burned today, there were families who are no longer homeless, not because of our sanctuary, but because our church provides 5 safe homes for them to live in. While our sanctuary burned today, there was work being done by our church preparing for our March Mission Madness projects that will make people all over our community warm, safe, and dry. While our sanctuary burned today, there were children in a remote valley in Tanzania who went to preschool in a school and received medical care in a clinic, both built and funded by our church. While our sanctuary burned today, people in Guatemala and Cuba and all over the state of South Carolina were blessed by the generosity and ministry of our church. And tomorrow, our church will show up like they do every Thursday morning to pack 188 backpacks full of food for children in 5 schools who otherwise might not have food over the weekend. We'll do that and more even while our sanctuary smolders. On that Wednesday night of the fire, I read that message from our church council chair and I thought, maybe Jim ought to preach this Sunday. But it put the whole day in perspective. Yes, it was a terrible day. And no, none of us would have chosen for that to happen. But also, there was no way that we were going to let a fire stand in the way of being church. Our God is too big for that. God has made us living stones. Living stones don't burn. God is taking us, living stones, and building us into a spiritual temple. And God is not done. We're still being built. In fact, since the fire, we've done even more things. We've dug 10 wells and planted 10 churches in 10 villages among the untouchables in India so that they can have clean drinking water and be connected to Jesus, the water of life. This morning, during all of our worship services, there are going to be people who are up in our gym packaging meals for Rise Against Hunger so that people all around the world can have a nutritious meal. And we've also, in this intervening time, been busy making plans for the biggest mission trip we've ever taken as we prepare to plant the healthy Advent DNA in another community just miles from here down Scuffletown Road. And so Advent, today we celebrate. We celebrate, but we are not done. We're still under construction. God is still working on us and God is still working in us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known as the church that burned. I want to be known as the church that is on fire. I want God to take us living stones, and I want God to keep on building. Because as Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For He delivered us from the fire. He picked us up out of the ashes, and He has called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. And there is no way we can stop now. In a sense, we're just getting started. Advent, we're still being built. Now, in just a moment, we're going to sing. And as we do, I want to invite you to come forward if you feel led. And I want you to there are three baskets up here, and I'll invite you, if you want, to take from one of those baskets a stone. Actually, they're not really stones. They're pieces of brick from the old sanctuary that burned. And if you take one of these, I want it to be for you a reminder that brick and mortar will come and go. But we are living stones. God is building us into a spiritual temple, and as a result, we can show the goodness of God to the whole world. So you take a piece of brick, and then I want to invite you to pray. If you would like, you can kneel to pray at the rail. But I want to invite you to pray that we will never tire, that we will never slow down in showing the goodness of God, in working toward the mission that God has given us to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pray that we stay focused on that and we never falter. Let us pray. Gracious God, we can never praise you or thank you enough for your faithfulness to us. You've carried us through the fire. You've delivered us on the other side. And we pray that you continue to empower us to show your goodness to others and share the love of Jesus until the whole world knows. In his name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.